All right, well, let's turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 12. It's toward the back of your Bible, after the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And John, chapter 12, and we're just going to be looking at a small bit of it, actually, from the very same passage we were in last week, particularly in verse 23. We're going to be talking about control and chaos, security and insecurity. Do you feel like life is under control right now? Is it out of control? How do you deal with that? Well, let's hear from God's Word today in John 12. And I'm actually going to be reading the same passage as last week, beginning in verse 20. This is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Let's pray. Lord our God, your word is sufficient to lead us into every good path for your purposes and glory. But we need your Holy Spirit to work if we are to understand it and believe it and trust in you and follow you according to what you teach us here. So please do your work in this congregation for the sake of your great mission to bless all the families of the earth with the knowledge of yourself. Amen. Artificial intelligence. I guess it's not such a new thing. People have been talking about artificial intelligence for a long time. But it's kind of a big thing right now. I don't know if you go to the same website that I do for news, but I see it on the news all the time, artificial intelligence, you know. And in artificial intelligence, what is it ultimately, right? It's these very strong computers, maybe robots and such. And we're trying to, through this artificial intelligence, gain greater control over the world. Artificial intelligence is effectively a tool. It's a tool. And we want to gain greater control over our environment, over the world that we live in. But the irony about it all is that all these articles on the news sites describe how people are afraid, right? We're afraid that this artificial intelligence that we want to accomplish greater control over the world will actually sort of turn on us. And there's these sort of dystopian descriptions of, you know, robots eventually like turning on us and taking over us and us completely losing control of everything when AI takes over us. So as we seek to gain greater control over the world, the irony is that we're afraid we're going to lose control even as we seek it. And you might think, well, then we're probably going to just slow down, right? We should slow down, not develop it too quick. But wait a second. The cat's out of the bag and you can make artificial intelligence. And what do nations know? Nations know that other nations are developing it. And what if that nation, who's not my friend, develops it faster? Well, then I'm going to lose control and they're going to take over my nation. So we got to develop it faster. And other people are like, no. If you do this too fast, then all the robots are going to turn on us and we're all going to get killed and it's going to be chaos. Right? I guess I'm just telling you all of these things because I want to point out that it should be obvious we love and desire control. And there's something right about that. Human beings want control because we don't want things to go badly. Human beings are afraid, though. Because we know that people aren't always good. I mean, these are things that you don't have to be like myself. I'm a layman on artificial intelligence. But as a pastor, I know the scriptures. And I can tell you that human beings like control and that the world is can be a dangerous place. You don't even need the Bible to know that, right? But that's what we do see. And in the midst of a world, an insecure world, where do we go for security? You've got really two options. Either you go to humanity and you look to humanity to create a plan, maybe the Select Subcommittee on Artificial Intelligence created by the White House. You look to them to create a plan to establish security in an insecure world. Or you trust in God and His plan for a secure world. Those are your two options. Maybe you can think of another. I don't think we're going to go and trust in like horses, right? Let's trust in horses and their plan. Like, you know, we've really got two options. Either humanity or God. Where are you looking? Where are you looking for your security? Whose plans are you depending on for security in an insecure world? Now, the Select Subcommittee on Artificial Intelligence of the White House has some answers. But the Scriptures has the answer. They have the answer. And the answer is that God's plan is sure in an insecure world. And that's every part of that counts. God's plan is sure in the midst of this insecure world. And why am I talking about God's plan? Because that's what Jesus is talking about, although he doesn't use that language. He says in verse 23, "The hour has come." He doesn't just mean that it's noon and it's time for lunch. He's talking about a plan. A plan, an eternal plan that has been playing out in human history, that has been moving toward a very specific and extremely significant hour. And I can tell you that it's a plan, even as we just look at the Gospel of John. The hour couldn't come any quicker. Jesus' mother Mary, at the wedding in Cana, they ran out of wine. It was very embarrassing for the bridegroom. And Mary tells the stewards, talk to Jesus, do whatever he says. She says to Jesus, you know, do something about it. And he tells his mother, my hour has not yet come. Now, that's deep, and we don't have time to kind of work through all of what's going on there. Jesus is really awesome, by the way. He does go ahead and create wine for the wedding. But his hour had not yet come. His mother's desire for his hour to be here, in a certain sense, couldn't make it that way. Humans don't dictate God's plans. God's plan is playing out according to God's order. And other people wanted security. They were insecure because they saw Jesus growing in popularity. Jesus' enemies see that he's gaining so many disciples, taking disciples from them, and they want to arrest him. But in John chapter 7, the author of our gospel tells us they couldn't arrest him because his hour had not yet come. And in chapter 8, the same thing. They wanted to arrest him. They wanted security in an insecure moment. And they tried to arrest him and establish that, but they couldn't because his hour had not yet come. God's plan is sure, and it can't be stopped. It couldn't come in people's timing. It comes in God's timing. And Jesus tells us here, the time has come, the hour has come, for the Son of Man to be glorified. And we should stand back for a second and think about this. God has a plan. What does that teach us about God? And what does his plan teach us about ourselves? These two very important questions that every human being is trying to answer. We have answers here. So what does God's plan teach us about him? Well, first of all, it teaches us that God is personal. I mentioned this to the adults last week. Rocks don't make plans because rocks don't have a will. Rocks don't have desire. Rocks don't have intelligence. But God has a will. He's personal. But that God's plan is sure in an insecure world, that it's sure, is only because He's all-powerful. Not only is He personal, He's all-powerful. You and I have plans. You might have planned to maybe be at school at a certain hour or at work at a certain hour. But there are other people with plans out there. And one guy decided to speed and get in the right lane a little too early. And an accident happened on 66. And you're not getting to church or work or school at the hour you had planned on. But God is all-powerful. And so He is able to achieve whatever He plans. And the Psalms says, our God is in the heavens. He does whatever He pleases. And of course, that's scary if He's bad. Right? You don't want somebody who's able to make plans and carry them out and nobody can stop him and he's evil. But what does the Bible declare? Jesus told the rich young ruler, God is good. John in 1 John tells us God is light and there is no darkness in him whatsoever. And so his plan is good. And so he is just. But that can also make us scared, right? But wait a second, if he's good, that's great. He's going to carry out a good plan. But what if I'm not good? What if my life hasn't always been kind of trying to work with his will? What if I've gone against his will? What does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean good things necessarily. I mean, God is good, but that means he's just. He's fair. And so as he carries out his plan, he's going to have to deal with injustice. You know, judgment on sin, wow, that sounds heavy. But really, at the end of the day, it's just fair. It's just fair. It's right. And in God's plan, He has to do something about injustice and about our rebellion against Him. But thanks be to God, He's not just good in sort of this puritanical kind of moral sense. He is. He is good in the moral sense, but He's not good and unmerciful. He's not just righteous, but uncompassionate towards sinners. He's also gracious and merciful. So in Exodus 34, he tells Moses, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And so we should expect in God's plan, even as he carries out this plan and must deal with sin, but that he will also be merciful and gracious, because that's his character. He can't do otherwise. And of course, that's what all comes together in this hour. Jesus says, the hour has come. And what hour is that? We learned last week, it is for the Son of Man to be glorified. This is a revelation of God's very character. It is the moment in human history when God's plan is coming to its center point and the person of God will be most fully revealed in all of his attributes, in all of who he is, in his justice and in his mercy. Because God the Father sent God the Son to become a man so that Jesus could die on the cross according to God's plan so that God would deal justly with our rebellion. In God's plan, he does deal with our rebellion, but he deals with it by dealing with himself. This hour has come for him to reveal his justice by taking upon himself the fair punishment and judgment for our sins. Who could have thought God's plan would be this way? But then he also displays his mercy at the very same time. Because as Jesus is being justly penalized for our sins, as he is crucified on the cross, it is also the means by which God displays his mercy, so that all who will believe in him will be forgiven. We could go on and on about how this hour displays and reveals God's person in profound ways according to his plan. God is being glorified. His wonders are being revealed. But we also learn something more about us when we consider God's plan. We see that Jesus, when he's glorified, he says in verse 24, it is like a grain of wheat falling into the earth and dying. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, that seed remains alone. The only one of its kind, in a sense, right? But if it dies, it bears more of the same kind. Now here's where I want you to think a little bit more deeply. Jesus' hour has come, and he's like a seed that falls into the earth, and he dies. In this way, he's at the center point of God's plan to display his justice and mercy to sinners and to reveal his great glory. Jesus' hour is not one where God uses his power to establish security only for Jesus. Jesus' hour is Jesus' entering fully into the chaos. But in the midst of the insecurity, depending on God, the Father, to bring him out the other side. You see that? God didn't just send his son into the world to become man and have an easy life. He didn't stick him on an ivory throne above everybody else. Let us go through the chaos, but let Jesus enjoy the security. Jesus' hour was to enter into the insecurity, enter into the chaos, but depend on God and display for us how dependable God is as he brings Jesus through the grave and out the other side in the resurrection. And nobody can debate that historically. Give me a better case. Jesus has been raised. God brought him through that, and Jesus enjoys ultimate peace and security at the Father's right hand right now. But Jesus is producing seeds like himself. Do you see that? In God's plan, being a Christian then does not mean that we are going to live on ivory thrones above the rest of a chaotic world. In his plan, he's calling us to become like Jesus. In fact, Jesus doesn't just talk about his hour. He talks about an hour that is coming after his hour, and that is our hour. He even goes beyond that and speaks about an hour after our hour, and at that hour, the voice of the Son of God will call out, and the dead will be raised, some to everlasting judgment, and others to everlasting life. But between Christ's hour and that final hour, that eternal hour, is our hour. And in that same hour, what we need to believe is not in the plans of men, but that God's plan is sure, even when everything else seems unsure. That God's plan is sure when we are following Jesus in an insecure moment, time, chapter in our lives. God's plan is sure in an insecure world, and so we must, like Jesus, depend deeply upon God to bring us out the other side. And he will. If you are a Christian, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, it is no accident. It is according to God's plan. And we're going to make it to the end, no matter what chaos we're facing. And if you're here today and you're not yet a Christian, believe in Jesus. It's no just chance event that you're here. In this congregation, it's according to God's plan. Depend on him, because human plans are insecure. but His is sure. And for the strength that we need for this hour, God has given us a meal. A meal that teaches us that our security does not lie in artificial intelligence. Our security does not lie in the plans of men. Our security is found in the triune God and in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. On the night that He was betrayed, He took the bread and He broke it and He said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat, all of you." He took the cup and He said, "This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink, all of you." The call is to participate in the very life and death and resurrection of Jesus Himself, that we might too display the glory of God in our own unique way in this hour. It is by means of Christ and Christ alone that we can endure. And this meal teaches us to depend on Him. Not to well up our own strength to make it through hard times, but to feed upon Him.